still kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you were victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, and the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade, and I'm sitting here with my lovely life, with our normal enthusiasm, as always. And across the pond, across the way, and over some few highways, we have...
Patsy, the angry nerd from Throwdown Thursday. I'm so excited to be back twice in 1 week. Oh, feel like it's my wedding night.
And already we have a runner for the show title. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
So, originally, this was going to be a more fun episode, but I was listening to Joe Budden, and they brought up somebody I can't stand, someone who's become just a deplorable human being, Terry Crews.
Fuck Terry Crews.
Oh, it's funny, because that's exactly what my rant was. Fuck Terry Crews. And the part that is, it's like he's going on these rants about how it's, we gotta make sure that Black Lives Matter doesn't turn into black supremacy. You nutty idiot. You're missing the point. And like, and I think we said it on the last show. It might have been you. It might have been Javi. We talked about something. Michael Che from SNL said, he goes, we're just trying to matter. And he's running around like, oh, and if you disagree with me, that must mean you're intimidated by me. No, that just means someone disagrees with you. That's really all it comes down to. We can disagree on something. And if someone doesn't want to agree with you and decides to say, hey, you're wrong, and then end the conversation, that's cool. If you decide you want to keep the conversation going and the person doesn't feel compelled to continue this dialogue, that's also cool. I could know someone who doesn't agree with gay marriage. I can call them a fucking idiot and then move on. Or I can just say, hey, I don't agree with you, and move on. And you can have a dialogue about how you think it's not right, this is an abomination, and I'm still going to call you a fucking idiot, and I'm still going to think you're wrong, but it's to a point where there is no dialogue that needs to be had. If someone's going to talk about Fuckboy 45, there is no dialogue. That guy is a racist asshole. He needs to be out of office, and I can't wait till they take his ass out in handcuffs. I hope it happens. Actually, they can't take him out in handcuffs because his hands are too fucking small.
Yeah, little bitch handcuffs.
No, you can't. You know what? You remember the Police Academy, the Police Academy toys from the cartoon when they had the one handcuff and it was literally like two hands. Mm. They need those, and then here's the funny thing about it. And so I wrote this down specifically because I want to make sure I said this. The part that Terry Crews is missing is that while our brothers and sisters, our black brothers and sisters are being shot, hung, and attacked, he's still running around talking about, we still need to make sure that we don't talk about blacks, we need to make sure it's not black supremacy. Again, you're missing the fucking point. Like, we're at a point where we just want to have equal rights. We want to feel that, like, everything is on the level. And then when we get, and then, fun fact, it's not just, and then it's like, oh, well, and then he's, again, all lives matter. Like, yes, that's the point of the Black Lives Matter movement, is we're all trying to be on an even playing field. Right now, we're not. So, what part of this am I not getting? And so, I want to say this, and now since Terry Crews, since you're playing the victim, with people who disagree with you, I would like to say, on behalf of Old Man Wade, maybe not the rest of the show, but on behalf of Old Man Wade, I'm pretty sure Super Bowl feels this way too, but I don't want to speak for him. So, Terry Crews, eat an unwanted dick and a nasty vagina.
That is a 1-2 combination that you will not find at McDonald's, and you do not want it supersized.
I'm pretty sure you can find both of those at McDonald's.
Yeah, but, you know, generally not in the drive-thru. At least I hope not. Maybe in the bathroom.
Look. Have you ever, you've gone to McDonald's at 2 in the morning after a club, right? Or after a bar, right?
Oh, after a show, yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure in one of the cars behind you, there was some unwanted vagina and some unwanted dick.
I mean, I didn't want them, I can tell you that much.
Exactly. There was someone going home that no one wanted to fuck, and that's unwanted vagina, that's unwanted dick.
I wouldn't fuck her with a stolen dick. But yeah, to kind of touch on what you're saying, you know, as much as I can as a white guy, but you know, well, we need to, you know, slow down that this doesn't turn into black supremacy. It's like, maybe, I don't know, be treated equally before you take that next step.
Yeah, he jumped. He literally went from road rail and Monopoly all the way to Boardwalk, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, it's like you. It's like, oh, let me just jump onto Go. You know, let me pass Go and go right to Boardwalk. Like, yeah. It's like, no, that's not how this works. It's not like you graduate kindergarten and you're like, all right, where are the jobs at? Let's see, what can I do?
Yeah.
What can I do? I've graduated kindergarten, and now I'm ready to take on the world. It's like, maybe.
Yep, and now I'm ready to start building robots and become president with no experience. Oh, wait.
That's Kanye.
There are people who still don't look at black people as people. Like, I still have to explain to somebody, like, oh, well, you know, I was grandfathered into that. It's like, do you even know what that means? Do you know what that is? Do you know what the 3/5 compromise is?
Oh, God. How long, like, Brown versus the Board of Education wasn't that long ago. There's still...
Like 50 years ago.
There's still centuries of oppression built into my DNA that we're still getting, we're still dealing with. Young lady Valkyrie is reading, listening to an Audible book talking about the things about all the things that we're still dealing with as black people that we may not even recognize.
Well, it's a history. So it's called Stamped at Birth, or Stamped from the Beginning, sorry. I always say at birth, but it's Stamped from the Beginning, and it's Ibram X. Kendi. Kendi, I always say it wrong. Don't quote me. But it's like a really extensive, like, well-researched book about slavery and how it became about and how after slavery people of color were viewed and how our laws and our entire justice system, everything kind of is wrapped up into interwoven racism that people don't even realize is a thing.
Yeah, and
I saw a brilliant video about the exact same thing. It's this guy, Cody Johnston, who used to be on Cracked's YouTube channel. He was a writer, he was an actor, like he did a bunch of stuff, and he does a channel that focuses on news, and the one he just released this week was, you know, all about systemic racism, and it's touching on exactly what you're talking about. Like, there was some dipshit that was sitting there like, systemic racism isn't real. Dave Rubin, that's who it was. Systemic racism isn't real because there are no laws, you know, keeping people, you know, of color down. Like, there's no, you know, there's no specific law, you know, saying that, you know, racism is a thing. And he spent over an hour breaking down everything and then used the example of, like, he took Mario Kart and used it as, like, a way to kind of explain away, like, how racism works. And he's like, okay, let's say Mario is the white guy and Luigi is the black guy. And it's like, well, why can't you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know? And so it shows, like, he's going through the history for the last 400 years in this country. It's like, oh, do you remember when all these people, like all these white people were just given land during the Western expansion? Do you remember all the people that were given houses and free college when they came home from fighting World War II? It's like, hey, I know we've oppressed you and done all this for 300 years, but can you come help us beat Hitler? He's a bad man.
Not,
and it's like, all right.
Not even that. Like, that, I mean, that, yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, people like that piss me off because they don't really look into it. They just want to believe what they want to believe. And history is so whitewashed that people don't realize how interwoven racism really is. A huge piece that people are missing is, and why, like, a lot of people of color don't own property that they can pass through the generations, is because housing, after, like, the Depression, you get further into, like, the 40s, 50s, So the projects were actually meant for middle-class white Americans. You can look this up to make it through. And then they offered these white Americans, like, all over the country, housing opportunities to buy houses for, like, way below market. They were subsidized housing. But on top of that, like, you were given an even lower rate to buy this house so that your family had something to build off, right? This program legitimately excluded black people. Dead serious. You can look it up.
Yeah.
It excluded people of color from owning and purchasing houses through this government program. And we're talking, like, in the 50s, 60s, you know, like, 40s. Like, not that long ago. People act like it's so long ago. And so imagine you're given this great advantage for your family to grow and have something to build equity off of and to build a life off of, to pass down to their children, to be sold for more money in the future, to refinance into new buildings. Like, it gives you credit, it gives you all sorts of benefits, right, to be a homeowner. But when you've never been given that chance from the beginning, you have to start from scratch.
We're not even starting from scratch. We haven't even gone to the store to buy the groceries yet.
No, exactly. Like, and, like, it's stuff like that people don't understand because they refuse to read fucking books or watch a documentary. I'll be happy with that.
Do you know what's funny is I have choice words for my parents, and it's been well documented on the show. But the one thing I will always give them credit for, and as well as my grandmother, is, like, really explain what really went on in history. So these are things that I know. When people go, "Oh, did you know this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I was fortunate enough that my parents, like, you know, mentioned these things." And I went to a predominantly black elementary school, and I went to a predominantly black middle school. So they did a lot of, like,
black history.
Yeah, and not even just black history. They went into the idea of, like, racist American history. So it wasn't like, "Oh, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves."
It was like, no, Abraham Lincoln had an agenda to get votes.
It's like there's a lot of the same stuff that you're talking about. I forget the name of the program that they used.
I can't think of it.
Everybody the houses, all the white people were given the houses, and not only did, you know, it's like, "Oh, this is a $30,000 house in 1956. And now it's worth $300,000. You know, you sell it, you know, you pass it on, like, you have all this extra money now. So, you know, you can build wealth.
Yeah.
But they had this great clip of Dr. King saying, you know, like, they're telling us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but we don't even have boots.
Yes.
And it's like, that's, like, so fucking brilliantly stated. It's like, "Oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps." Like, "I don't even have shoes. How can I do that? Like, you've given me nothing." Like, it's
crazy. It's like a thought process. It's so crazy. Like I said, like that programs like this were through our government. Like, our government said, "We're going to give this advantage to white people. We're not going to offer it to people of color. They're not going to be allowed to take these advantages." But nobody wants to admit that. Like, but it's in black and white. You can look it up. You can look up the laws. You can look, like, so for me, it just...
There's always been a fear and a hatred of the other. I learned in my sociology class, and tell me how crazy you think this is. When the NBA first started, when professional basketball first began, there was a group of people that the league runners were trying to exclude because it was just built into their DNA that they were going to be better athletes than everyone else. And I'm not talking about black folks. I'm talking about Jewish folks.
Stop it.
What was going on in the NBA, like, back in the 30s, like, when it was, you know, first, like, professional basketball was starting to kind of gain traction. So, you know, 20 years before the Celtics dynasty. But it's like, "Oh, well, no wonder they're so good at basketball. It's just, you know, it's their you know, athletically inclined, or it's in their DNA. They're just built better for it. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have used that exact same argument later on against somebody else. Like, maybe change the fucking record.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and to Valkyrie's point, and to yours, it's like on your mark, get set, go, not you. You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, we're doing a 100-yard dash. We're gonna start you at the 70 yards.
No, it's the Indy 500, but you don't get a car, and you got somebody holding you back.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Why are you as good as him? Why can't you catch up with him? Why? Oh, it must be because you're lazy.
And furthermore, this is something else I wanted to say. I want to put this out in the open. There are a lot of times in my life where I have kept quiet for fear and cowardice of how I would be judged and the people I was around. Those days are fucking over. I'm going to be calling people up. If you say something fucked up, I'm going to say something to you. If you're going to drop the N-bomb and you're white, I'm going to call you out on that shit. I'm no longer going to put this whole, I have a black friend. No. We're not doing that shit anymore. I'm done with that. I'm done making myself uncomfortable to make other people comfortable. I'm done with that shit now. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm admitting my fault in this just so when people go, well, you used to? Yeah, I used to. I'm not doing that shit anymore. So,
here's the thing with these two.
By the same token, you know, that I'm an ally. You know, I am on your side. I have, you know, been supportive of you and other folks who are not the specific, you know, demographic in which I fit. You know, because I feel like, yes, Black Lives Matter. I don't understand why that's so fucking difficult to talk about. But if I do or say something that goes counter to that, and I am not aware of it, I don't believe that ignorance is an excuse. I expect to be immediately educated. For example, the article that I wrote, somebody read it, and they're like, hey, I know this wasn't your intent, but when you're referring to black people, capitalize black.
Yeah, and that's honest criticism, and that's something that everybody needs. If you're ignorant to someone's struggle or ignorant to somebody's life, you should be able to have these conversations in a polite manner, in a way where you're not like, you know what I mean, you're learning something. Yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, but you also need to learn these things. When I write articles about the LGBTQ community, I consult with people who can help me out with this. I'm like, hey, I have a question. Or if I finish writing something, I'll go, hey, can you take a quick breeze at this to make sure I'm not saying anything offensive? Because the last thing I want to do is be that person. So at the end of the day, I feel that when, like for example, you sent me the article real quick to be like, hey, do you think this comes off as pandering? And I was like, no, it comes off sincere and honest. You know what I mean? You said you sent it to LaBelle as well. And if I won't say it, he damn sure will. You know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? And if I damn sure thought that it was offensive and I was just saying it to be saying it, I wouldn't have shared it on my page. I wouldn't have put my stamp to it. I wouldn't have shared it to the people that I think need to read this thing. You know what I mean? So I think that's the major difference between someone who's an ally and wants to and someone who's pandering. You were not pandering. You were letting everyone know, hey, this is where I stand. This is where my wife stands. And this is where the people who represent this show stand. And I thought it was dope.
And again, you know, it's one of those things where and I said this in the article, like, I don't know what this is like to be on this other side. It's like, yeah, I have black friends. You know, it's like, oh, my brother's godmother is black. You know, I grew up, you know, I went to a school in Maine South in Worcester that was predominantly black and Hispanic, but I still don't know what it's like to be on the other side of that. I had a brief taste of it around 9/11 when one of my friend's college roommate was saying how, oh, we need to round up all the Arabs and put them into detention camp, you know, like we did with the Japanese, the internment camps.
It's a nasty, nasty situation.
But what he doesn't realize is that that's where my family is from, the Middle East. My last name is a Muslim Arabic name, which means traveler.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it was Muslim Arabic. I knew it was Arabic. And someone, when I was working at Sprint years ago, I had a Muslim customer, and she was like, yeah, you know, did you know that this is what your last name meant? And I was like, no one ever told me. And she like wrote it out in Arabic so I would have it, so I would know like my heritage, you know. So I felt the anger and the frustration, but it's like, I also remember the fact that, you know, when they did the internment camps, it was only the Japanese that were being put in them. I don't recall any Italians or Germans being rounded up and crammed into cages like animals. You know? Maybe there was a specific reason for that. If only I could put my finger on it. You know? But I don't quite get what it is. You know, come back to me later. I'm not sure about it right now.
White now?
White now.
You are...
Like, that's the shit. Like, if you were like, all right, we're going to put all the, you know, we're fighting the Japanese and the Germans and the Italians. Like, we have to put everybody into camps. Like, fucking Roosevelt would have to be the first one to go.
Too funny.
This comedian said the funniest shit ever today. I was listening to the Whiskey Brothers, and he goes, do you know how racist America is? They came up with a slur for Germans.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has, you know, I mean, what's the worst, you know, for white people? Like, oh, whatever, honky. And like, everyone says that. They fucking say it on Bob's Burgers.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
you can say it on Bob's Burgers. It's not a racial
slur. Oh, well, we were having this conversation before. Like, if you have to say the N-word and you can't say the actual word, then you know it's not fucking right, dude. Like, if you have to say, why can't I say the N-word, you know that it's fucked up.
What was it? John,
when you have someone that's like, Karen is as bad as the N-word.
It is not.
Karen, but you can't say the other word. One of those words is inherently worse.
It's like John Mulaney has a joke where he wasn't allowed to say midget, which is offensive. But he goes, it's as bad as the N-word. He goes, you want to know how it's not as bad as the N-word? Because you're saying the N-word and we're saying the other one.
Yeah, it's like there's a George Carlin thing. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but.
I've heard every George Carlin bit rapper.
Where he says, it's not the word that you have to be concerned with, it's the racist asshole using it.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, both of those things are true. Well, I don't think either one of them, you can have one without the other.
Well, I think the problem is, the funny thing about it is, it's if you have someone using the word, then it is the racist asshole. The words are going to be words. Like, that's not a problem. But when you have someone using the words, they are the racist asshole behind it. So I don't think, I looked at it as, he doesn't have a problem with the word. He has a problem with people using the word. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are going to be derogatory words until the end of time. That doesn't mean that they should be said. You know what I mean? So I think, but again, this is, excuse me, I was looking at certain comedians as philosophers. I put George Carlin of that ilk.
And there is,
say it again?
So, I have a thought that, you know, I like to, again, you know, this is, I don't know if this is really my place to ask because I don't know, but the term African-American, I find to be like some sort of like, all right, we'll just call you African-American. I find that to be an incredibly racist term. Anytime someone has dark skin, they're like, oh, it was that African-American fellow. What if he's from the Caribbean? If you saw David Ortiz and you didn't know he was David Ortiz, people would describe him as African-American.
Well, it's funny because this woman I used to hang out with said something, and excuse the language here, but she was trying to explain to one of her coworkers about being of a certain skin color. And she goes, she didn't understand. She goes, well, I'll put it to you like this. To a racist person, if I walk down the corridor and then there's a Jamaican next to me, a Trinidadian next to them, a dark-skinned Dominican next to them, and then someone else dark-skinned to it, then we're just going to look like niggas to them. They're not going to distinguish the difference between the races. And you look at some, let's take Idris Elba. He's not American. You know what I mean? He's British. I identify, if someone called me African-American, I'm not going to argue it. That's fine. I don't really find it offensive. Some people do. I know people who will argue and go, no, I'm black. And that's their prerogative. If someone said, what are you? I'd say black American. That's what I am.
The reason why people don't like the term African-American is because they don't know where they come from. So how do they know that they're even fucking African?
That's my next point.
They have no choice. They have no idea. Annoyed with it.
Dave Matthews and what the fuck's your name? Charlie Sterren.
I knew you were going with this.
Americans. Yeah. Because they're from South Africa.
Oh, my God. So, you know what? I was doing my Googles. I was working on an article, and I looked up African actors. She was the first person that came up.
I mean, she's African.
She's from South Africa.
And it was the funniest fucking thing ever. They went through three white people before they got to Lupita Nyong'o. Yeah. I was like, that is hysterical. But it was like,
that term... Like, I would rather say, you know, and again, this is, if this is ignorant, or this is coming off as, unacceptable, please let me know. But I would, you know, if I was to refer to you, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I wouldn't be like, oh, Mark is my black friend. But, you know, if like there was a picture of a bunch of people and they're like, oh, who's that? Like, oh. He's the black guy. I wouldn't be like, oh, he's the African-American gentleman.
And you know what? It also comes off with... It also depends on how you say it, you know what I mean? Because some people get very, shaky when you say certain things. It's like, oh, my African-American friend. It's like... I remember someone saying, I look at him like, you can call me black, it's okay.
Like, I'm also not going to be like, he's the guy with... The green shirt. Well, there's four guys with green shirt. The tall guy. Well, there's three tall guys. It's like...
My process of elimination.
He's the black guy. Like,
thank you, Peter Griffin.
Yeah. But it's like... To go out of your way, to go the opposite way, and I don't know how you feel about this, and again, this was in my article as well. Well, I don't see color. It's like, oh, you don't see color, so you're ignoring everyone's heritage, customs, traditions, history. Like, it's not the same as yours. You know, it might be. You don't know. Like, oh, I don't see color. Oh, he's my friend. His name is Gary. Like, whatever. Like, that's fine.
His name is Gary.
Like,
but I'm sorry.
I try not to differentiate, because I used to do that when I was younger. It's like, oh, well, there's this person and this person. And I'm just like... Oh, they're, you know, this tall and, you know, this is what they look like. And it's like, oh, then there's this guy. He was black. And it's like, why do I need to say that this guy is black? Why can't he just be a character? Like, there was some issue when Idris Elba played the gunslinger in the Dark Tower movie. And everyone's like, oh, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's like, this is the only time I'll complain about a casting. And the reason I complained about it is because, A, Idris Elba is amazing. And he's a great actor, and I liked him as Roland. The only problem is, if you were going by the books, there is an entire section of the second book, or the third book, I'm sorry, where the race has everything to do with it, because there is a black woman in a wheelchair who gets pulled into Roland's world from the mid-60s.
Oh.
Who has split personalities, and one of them is a raging racist, and she's like terrified at the same time that she's like been abducted by these two white men, and she doesn't know what they're going to do to her. So, like, there's that whole thing. So if it wasn't for that, I'd be like, yeah, who gives a shit?
And I think there's also the point where, like, here's the thing, and I've said this on the show before, and I'm 100% sure I'll say it again. You don't need to pander to a certain section or group of people by making them gay, black, white, Hispanic, or Asian. Do you want to know why? Because we have gay, black, white, Asian, and Hispanic characters. And if you're like, oh, well, these characters aren't interesting, cool. Make new characters. Like, so let's take Kate Kane. So Kate Kane, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you keep up with the news, the new Batwoman is going to be a black woman. But she's not going to be Kate Kane. So they've created a new character. Brian Michael Bendis and a couple other gentlemen, I'm mad I can't remember their name, created a black female character named Naomi. Totally new character, not somebody we've seen before. America Chavez, Afro-Latinx character. Like, so you have the ability to create these characters. You don't need to pander to a certain section of people to make them happy when you literally have these characters, or, fun fact, create new ones. It's not like with, let's take Miles Morales. Miles Morales isn't Peter Parker. They didn't make Peter Parker black. They created a new Spider-Man.
How many assholes will not understand that?
A lot of them won't understand. A lot of them won't understand.
How many assholes already did when the Enter the Spider-Verse came out? Like, people are like, why is Spider-Man black? It's like, bro, because he's been black way before the movie. What the fuck?
He's black and Puerto Rican. He's super proud of both his mother's. His mother's Puerto Rican heritage and his father. To the point where
the only thing I will say, the only part about that I didn't like is that his dad's name is Jefferson Davis. And Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederate States of America during the Civil War.
Why did they make? I wonder why.
That's a weird.
Yeah, that is a really weird one.
You know what's funny? It might
have been another first name, like Bill or like.
You know, first thing that popped in my head, that seemed like a big fuck you to us, to everybody.
I mean, that could be what they're going for. It's like, oh, look, there's a black guy named Jefferson Davis. Why don't you wrap that in your Confederate flag and shove it up your ass?
Hey, you mean up someone's ass where the Confederate flag should go, you bunch of fucking losers?
But what they should have done, he should have kept his dad's name, because then he would have been Miles Davis.
Oh, someone said that. Someone said that.
That actually would have been dope.
How is this, though? Forget about Spider-Verse. Before that, where's the White Panther movie, huh?
Oh, when my fucking God.
Oh, my God. I told so. I was like...
Is Iron Man, Superman, Spider-Man,
Captain America.
Batman, Wolverine.
Green Lantern, Wolverine, Deadpool. Is that not a fucking enough for you?
It's never a fucking enough.
There's one black guy has his own movie. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. Oh, my personal favorite was the Luke Cage argument, where they're like... There weren't a lot of white people in Luke Cage. Oh,
they're in fucking Harlem. Although Harlem is becoming very, like...
Gentrified,
yeah. That's losing
its... There weren't a ton of white guys in Harlem? You don't say.
we're not going to ignore... Yeah, you get it. It's
Willis how that went in Die Hard 3.
Oh my God, what's the line? What is the line?
He had that sign.
No, not the sign. Not what the sign said. What did he say to Sam Jackson when he asked him what he's doing? Did he say, like, I'm a master of my own destiny or some shit like that?
Yeah. It's like, you feeling okay? You feeling okay today, sir? And I'll tell you what, if you watch that on TV and you've never seen, like, the actual, like, home release, like, you know, DVD or VHS or whatever, his sign just says, I hate everybody.
That's funny.
And it's like, wow, talk about softening the blow. Jesus Christ, like that takes everything away from that. Oh. So this has been a good movie conversation we've been having.
Oh, man. All right, so let's
why, what were you supposed to be, Wizard?
Moral of the story, fuck Terry Crews.
Oh, it was all about Terry. Oh, fuck Terry Crews.
Yeah. So.
Long and short of it is...
Fuck Terry.
I know we got sidetracked just a little bit.
I wish I could name this episode long story short, fuck Terry Crews. I really
Why couldn't you? Just asterisk it.
Doesn't have the same bump. I may just add it in the bio.
So, long story short, duck. Duck Terry Crews.
Yeah,
duck. Two meetings.
Yeah. So, 34 minutes later. So,
hey, this was a hell of a good conversation.
It really was.
I mean, the Terry Crews thing, I'll go back to it real quick, is just appalling to me, and I'm sick of fucking white people using, like, people like Terry Crews, Candace Owens, or whatever the fuck her name is.
Not with your dick.
They're, like, literally finding the one black guy who's being told by his white manager to speak out against Black Lives Matter. Like, I swear to God. Like,
that's the equivalent of, well, I can't be racist because I have a black friend.
No, like, I have this black colleague who says...
I did a podcast, my other podcast, the Culture Comic Book News podcast, CCBN. I did an episode, and I went, I'm not racist, I have a black sidekick. So, yeah.
You like that guy. Oh, I can't be racist. My family was too poor to own slaves. Those were expensive.
Yeah, essentially. So.
Have any idea how much a slave cost? No, because I would never think about buying a person.
Right? Like, our family tried once, but we lost out in auction.
Yeah. Like, they're missing that part.
Not that it was too expensive for your family. It should be my family didn't want to buy fucking people.
And my favorite part about that is like, how did your family know they were expensive?
We couldn't afford one and we tried like hell.
Like, right? We put all the family money together. We even put up the farm. Like, I don't...
Oh, God.
I can't.
My grandpappy sold his horse Mittens.
He tried to get a black guy named Mittens.
I fucking can't.
Oh, good.
So, movies.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to be discussing movies?
Promoting for each other.
So.
This whole thing stemmed from your F. Mary Kill the other day.
So, I put an F. Mary Kill up. It was Lonnie Kane, who I think is the most attractive cartoon character of all time. Jessica Rabbit, who's probably like 1B to Lana's 1A. And then, I forget her name. I think her name's like Cell or whatever from Road to El Dorado. And you said...
I think it's Shell.
Shell? Yeah, Shell. And you said... So who did you say? I'll let you tell.
Oh, I said... fuck Jessica Rabbit. Marry Lana. Because, you know, you go home to that every night.
Yes.
And then, you know, I don't know who the other girl is. So, kill her.
And so, I was shocked. You being as versed with movies and cinema... as you are. I was debating on calling you Cinema Man on here. That may be your new name.
Cinnamon.
Huh?
I'm so spicy, I'm no.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, our name's Shell. Chell. C-H-E-L. Either way.
So, and you said you didn't know who that was. I said, from Road to El Dorado, and you were like, I've never seen that. And I said, give it a watch. We'll talk about it on today. And you said, okay, well, I'll give you a movie. And let me just say,
that was the most fucked up movie I've ever seen.
No, before we even, no, that is not even close.
No, it was pretty fucking ridiculous.
It was pretty fucked up.
It was pretty fucked up.
I don't think it's the most fucked up movie I've seen, because I've seen American History X.
Never mind, man. You're right.
I can think of five things off the top of my head right now that blow that out of the water.
Inglorious Bastards.
Jeez, fuck, I didn't watch that.
Inglorious Bastards.
Cannibal Holocaust.
No.
What's the one?
I was just saying, I mean, they fucking axed a dude in half with a bone axe.
Yeah, you see, there's been
through his pee-pee!
And they were making a wish.
Ooh!
There's the worst, you've seen worse fatalities on Mortal Kombat.
No, that was just, like, uncalled for, and fucking... I was like, nope.
You would split a dude in half.
Ugh. I mean, if I had to.
I just want to say that it was unfair because I literally picked a movie that I was like, oh, it's a good fun romp. And then he throws this movie that's like, and I'm like,
he's like, hey, you want to be mind fucked real quick?
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell, man?
Watch this. It's a great family watch. Even the dog was upset.
So anyways, all right.
Everything. Gunfights, cannibalism, dismemberment.
And so, okay, you know, let's get into it. So I suggested The Road to El Dorado. A family movie.
Family friendly.
Well, not really. I wouldn't call it. It's a kind of family friendly movie. Well, it's very Disney-esque, and Disney movies should not be family friendly. I don't know why they are or how.
Oh, there was definitely implied oral sex going on.
There's implied everything.
Oh, but what about
when the priest? What the fuck his name? I couldn't remember his name. Like the high priest comes in, and like the girl pops her head up, and then the guy sits up, and it's very obvious her head was in his lap.
A lucky guy.
Like, he sits up, like, hey, what?
He goes,
like, oh,
it's
your hair.
I was like, oh my God, what would the priest think? And he goes, lucky God. So anyway, all right. So you had thoughts on Road to El Dorado. What are your thoughts?
It was fun. It was definitely. It feels like they rushed it because there wasn't much of a plot.
Yes, and it was actually a lot shorter than a movie like that should have been.
Like, it ended very abruptly. It was like, oh, there's this huge conflict coming. Oh, just kidding, there's a rock in the way, so nothing will happen. Like, what?
Hey, listen, the rock saved all.
Well, like,
all we need is a rock right now.
Dwayne Johnson?
Oh, that rock.
I'm not going to talk about him.
Yeah, like, the easiest way to beat him, you just cover him in paper, and you win.
I like that.
Yeah. Paper always beats rock. So,
but yeah, it's.
And I will say this.
What are you dribbling beer out your nose?
Yeah. When you said something, it came out of my nose.
Is that like milk or does it sing more?
Oh, it stings like a bitch.
Oh, yeah, that's going to hurt.
So we have this rule, me and Diddy Lavelle have a rule. Whenever we're drinking, you're not allowed to make a joke, and then one of us has to go no jokey jokey while drinky drinky. Because one day when I was having, I had back surgery, the first back surgery I had, all I had in the refrigerator was Hennessy. Don't judge me. and I forget what was said, but he shot Hennessy out of his nose, and it burnt like a bitch for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, that shit's like fucking.
You are not supposed to pass, you know, strong liquids through your nasal cavities.
Yeah. So.
That's how we're going to kill Corona.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Can you imagine if like cognac was the cure to COVID?
It definitely is not, because statistically the black community is getting hit really hard with COVID. So
that's racist.
Cognac and Hennessy is not working, Mark.
That is racist.
I mean, is it racist or is it historically accurate?
All right. Time stamp.
It's okay because I'm half. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, that's the other half of you that said that shit?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So.
I like a good Hennessy.
So the one thing I will say about the movie that I appreciated, I love the movie. It's fun. It's a good, like, hour and, like, 15 minutes if you just, like, want to watch something fun. It's entertaining. It's like, funny. It's got a lot of... It's not really... I wouldn't call it slapsticky. It's very Disney-ish, and it's not a Disney movie. And visually, I think it was, in terms of, like, a cartoon, it was way ahead of its time. Like, it looks beautiful.
It looked really nice. It was visual, like, the landscapes.
The water. Oh, my God. The water was the one thing that really, like, that got me.
That always looks like... For whatever reason, like, in, like, Pixar films, in, like, you know, AAA video games, whenever there's, like, CGI, the water somehow always looks amazing. Even if the rest of the film looks terrible, the water usually looks awesome.
Yes. I never thought about that until you said it, but you're right.
The thing that kind of got me was... It was a lot... If you watch a lot of Bob's Burgers like I do, you know, Kevin Kline plays like the rich guy in town, Mr. Fish Odor, who wears a white suit, drives a golf cart, and has an eye patch, a white eye patch.
He's very odd,
very eccentric. And Calvin Kline plays one of the two characters in this movie, and all I hear is Mr. Fish Odor throughout the entire movie. So
shut up, I didn't even think of that.
You know, I thought the banter back and forth between them was pretty good. Like, the writing was good. The acting was fairly good. They skimped, I think, on the voice talent. While they did have Frank Welker, who is a phenomenal voice actor, he basically played two or three different characters using the same voice.
I did notice that as well.
And that's really not Frank Welker's style. Like, that dude, I mean, watch a cartoon in the 80s and he was in it. Like, he's still on, you know, The Simpsons, Futurama, Family Guy. Like, he still does all this stuff.
Oh, shit, he was I didn't know he was, like, Scooby-Doo.
Megatron? Starscream?
Oh, shit, wow. He was on Raja and Abu and holy shit, yeah.
He has a lot, yeah. Large range.
And that's what I'm saying, like, he was like the main conquistador.
Tulio.
And then he was somebody else. He was one of the village people, not the village people.
Like the Indian, the fireman, or the policeman.
He was the Aztec, you know.
One of the kind of Spanish people, but not because they're speaking English. I got you.
Well, that is called the translation convention.
Hold up. Can I just say something? This is something that annoyed me, and I didn't. So it was me, Super Woke, Shay Knight, his wife Shay Knight, and the other lady Valkyrie. We're sitting there watching a movie, and me and Shay Knight, we love movies like this, so we're enthralled in this. And so they're speaking to each other, and then I was like, yeah.
Me and how you think of everything.
Right? Yeah, and so they were talking, and then I'm like, and I forget, someone said Spanish. I'm like, yeah, because they spoke Spanish. Wait, they didn't speak Spanish because they weren't conquered yet.
They would have spoken their language.
Yes.
Indigenous language it was.
Well, me and Javi were also...
who they were supposed to be. Like, they seemed like they were supposed to be, like, Aztecs.
So, like, me and Super Woke...
No, I think they're the Mayans. Well, Aztec or Mayans, one of them. I'm sorry, and I apologize
for
that.
I don't know enough between of the differences between them to you know, make an educated guess one way or the other.
They were Aztecs, I think.
They might have been.
Although they could have been Mayans, you're right. Oh yeah, because the Mayan game. Yeah, no, you're right. So me and Super Woke obviously were like, so Old Man Wade and Shanice are all happy and they're like giddy and they're little because they know all the words to like certain movies. The two of them, it's kind of creepy when they sit next to each other.
We're like a little brother and little sister watching a movie the first time.
Literally repeating all of it.
And they were so annoyed when we were watching.
It was freaking Cusco.
The Emperor's New Groove.
They literally fucking love that movie so much, and it's gross. They like finish each other's sentences, and then they like, it's a whole thing. So me and Super Woke are having this conversation. And Shanice and Mark are just doing their thing in the corner, like, with the, you know, the movie. And I was like, hey, Super Woke, you notice how, like, super white they are for Spanish guys? And he was like, yeah, no, I wasn't going to say anything. I was like, they made them, like, uber fucking. And then an old man goes, I mean, they're, like, Spanish European. I guess it makes sense. And I was like, okay, I mean, I guess.
Oh, and then this is one of my favorite jokes ever. When me and my buddy,
but none of them speak. They all speak English.
Yeah. So one of my favorite moments at working at my old job was my buddy Gene, and we were laughing at how stupid people are, and like the idea of gold, and like the Spanish come over and they're like, oh my God, gold, and then like the Aztec and Mayans are like, the fuck is gold?
Well, because we made things monetary. Yeah. It's like diamonds. Diamonds are really trash. They're not. But De Beers.
They're controlled rarity.
Well.
Like they're not actually rare.
No, exactly. You can, like, produce a fucking diamond, like, in a lab. Like, you can lab simulate it. Like, and there were hundreds of thousands, millions of them. And De Beers Company was like, how can we make money off this shiny stone? Let's tell every woman in America that they need to have one of these.
Adam Ruins
like,
Everything did a good episode.
Oh, fucking I love Adam Ruins Everything. Adam Ruins Everything should do a whole fucking segment on fucking systematic racism.
You think he did?
The only real value that a diamond has, in my opinion, is the fact that it ranks as a 10 on the Mohs scale, and it is the hardest mineral. And it's used for, you know, so much, like, masonry and stone.
Oh, yeah.
Because it can cut through anything. So you get, like, diamond-tipped blades for saws. Like, That to me is the value of a diamond.
And that's it.
So, well, let me tell you, after I have dinner tonight, I'm going to make a diamond. Like, that was a poop joke.
That was a poop. Okay.
So you were going on. So what didn't you like about it? You said that the movie, it seemed rushed, and I think it was. I agree with that 1,000%. There wasn't really a lot of character build up. They did it subtly and quickly. I loved how they hinted towards like the chief knowing that he wasn't really a god,
but just playing with it.
Yeah, but just kind of accepted it. Like, you know, it's making my people happy. You're not an asshole, so we'll accept you. So what other issues did you have with it?
So, like I was saying to young lady Valkyrie earlier, the translation convention is when, you know, say a movie takes place in France, but everybody speaks English.
Yeah.
You know, that instead of having subtitles, it's just easier. Although recently it's like, oh, we're all like Beauty and the Beast. Oh, we're all in France. That's why everyone's British, except this fucking Candlestick, who is French. Like, that I don't get. Like, everyone has to be British in everything. Like, Game of Thrones, everybody's British. Like, I don't know why that has to be. But anyways, the translation convention doesn't necessarily apply here, because it's like, oh, we've never seen white people before. We've never seen horses before, because that's kind of how the conquistadors were. As is my understanding of history, these were the first white men that, you know, the natives here had ever seen. And just as an aside, how do you discover a country if there's already fucking millions of people living on it? Did you really discover it? I don't think you did.
Yeah, you can't. You can't discover something that's already there, like, literally by definition.
Right.
You mean how we discovered America?
We didn't discover anything.
Yeah, no.
There were already people here. So, but yeah, when you have, I'm sorry, because this kind of touches on what we were saying earlier, and this is going to sidetrack just a little bit.
Wait. Can I just tell you, so I'm reading the definition of discover, and this sounds like one of the most calamitous things ever. Find something or someone unexpectedly or in the course of research. So first off, he didn't discover America because he wasn't searching for America.
No, that's where the surprise came in. It's like, oh, am I in India? You must be Indians. Hooray!
Fucking idiots. But yeah, you were saying, sorry.
One of the things that says all the time and it really makes me angry, when you have these racist assholes that are like, go back to Africa. It's like, motherfucker, you're the ones who brought everybody over. Like, now you're pissed?
Go back to where you came from. You first.
Yeah. Go back to Europe, dickface.
But I'm American. Are you, though? It's like the Thor face.
My ancestors built this country. Well, they watched while your ancestors built this country. They sipped iced tea on the veranda.
No. They drank mint juleps.
Ooh, powerful warm today. It's good to have land.
Let me tell you, I can't wait to have fuck you money so I can go to the Kentucky Derby.
Oh. Wear your Black Lives Matter shirt?
Oh, I'm going to have a Black Lives Matter suit.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot fucking wait, and Valkyrie is gonna have the biggest Baptist hat ever. I cannot wait to have fuck you money. So, okay.
To get back to what I didn't like about the movie.
Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show, where we never stay on topic. You know what's funny?
I'm used to it. That's my show, too.
But here's the funny thing about it, and you know what's funny? This goes for your show as well. If it's serious, you stay on topic. But as soon as shit starts getting fun, we're all over the fucking place.
Oh, yeah, because something reminds me of something reminds me of something. Yeah, that's just the way it is. Some of the stuff I didn't like included, how do I put this? Like, this was an accurate depiction of how white people are. Like, grifters and hustlers, but then they're like, oh, but we have a heart of gold. No, you fucking don't. You probably spread fucking cholera to everybody down there, you and your fucking weird European germs. Like, so they have that. They're introducing horses, and everyone's like, yeah, whatever, it's a horse. Like, who fucking cares? Like, you've never seen one before. And second of all, like, again, we talked about the translation convention, and that's for audiences. But, like, I'm going to walk into this jungle, and I see this tribe that I've never fucking seen before. They've never seen a white guy. And it's like, yeah, so let's just have a conversation here. You know, because we speak the same language, obviously, because this is America. We invented English, you know. And therefore, everyone else in the world must speak it, because America.
Yeah, you're in America. Speak American.
Yeah, speak American. Oh, could you please explain to me what American is? Like, English is, like, the most bastardized language that I can, that I am familiar with. Like, if you look at French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and Romanian, all the Romance languages, all the ones that are based on Latin, they're very similar. English is like, well, we have, you know, Japanese words and Spanish words.
And French words.
You kind of just change the way, like, oh, you call it papel? Well, that's paper. Oh, I'm original.
Lingerie.
Yeah. Like, we don't... There was somebody that went around and was asking people, like, oh, do you think we should teach Arabic numbers in school? And like, no! Oh, Muslims bad! It's like, no. We use Arabic numerals. We use Arabic... Like, that's what we use. Like, how are you so dumb? How are you so dumb?
Do they realize where Jesus was born?
Oh, yeah, he was born by Starbucks, which is why they put him on the cups. You know, he was born in the desert, and so you have to associate him with pine trees and snowmen. Because, you know, all the pine trees and snowmen in the desert.
He wasn't even born in the winter!
He was born in fucking August! July or August. It's like the end of July, beginning of August. Like, yeah, so I went through the Bible. I don't know how to say this, but there's no white people.
I wish everyone could have saw your face, because that's what made it even better.
jeez, guys. Does anybody know this? On page 412, it says Jeebus.
Surrender in the name of Jeebus.
Jesus healed the leopards. Leopards? Is that what we're going for? He was a vet?
No, he was the original Siegfried and Roy.
Well, it's like, I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Gaffigan, but...
I love Jim Gaffigan.
The thing he says about Jesus is like, the Bible says Jesus was a carpenter, but... Doesn't say if he was a good carpenter.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, good thing that Messiah thing worked out for him. That guy built me a shed. What a piece of crap that was.
So,
all the time, like, I'm the son of God. Yeah, well, right now you're building a shed, so hop to it, Jesus.
So before we move on to, God, the next movie, every time I hear that bit, I think of the Simpsons episode where Homer built that chair where he couldn't fall backwards.
Oh, yeah, the Edison chair.
Yeah. Every time I hear that bit, I think of that, because it's like, that seems like something Jesus would have built.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, you know, he wouldn't have sat in such a fancy chair.
Oh, yeah.
He truly is the cup of kings.
He would have sat cross-legged on the floor next to a pile of manure while everyone else died of malaria or diarrhea at the time.
We used to have more apostles, but they had violent diarrhea deaths.
So,
I was just going through the Bible. I didn't see anything about gluten allergies either. Somebody help me with this.
All right. So, moving on, we have this. One more time.
That is the gift that you sent to me.
That's all I kept thinking about the whole time I watched this movie. I couldn't get onto
your running commentary, because like you were watching it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw it on too, because I haven't watched it in a while. It might be good to refresh myself a little bit. And there were a few things that I forgot about. But, so yeah, the movie I suggested for you to watch is the S. Craig Zahler, written and directed by horror western Bone Tomahawk from, I think, 2015,
2016. 2015, right on the nose.
With,
I got it right here. We have Kurt Russell.
With his majestic fucking mustache.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember him running around with that mustache, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
He had the same type of facial hair.
So we got Kurt Russell. If Kurt Russell's in it, I will watch it. He could read the dictionary, and I'm all for it. So you got Kurt Russell, Patrick Wilson, Matthew Fox, Richard Jenkins, Lily Simmons, Evan, I'm not going to begin to butcher your name, good sir, and David Arquette. Oh, and Fred Melamed.
And Sid Haig.
Sid Haig.
Sid Haig was at the very beginning of the
Oh, buddy. Yeah, this...
The best part of that is, like, watching him take the arrow to the throat, and then he, like, pulls it out, and there's, like, a chunk of stuff on it.
Yeah. So...
Well, you had never seen this.
I had never seen this movie. Where's the description at? Okay. In the dying days of the Old West, an elderly sheriff and his posse set out to rescue their town's doctor from cannibalistic cave dwellers. So I'm like, oh, this is just going to be a movie where they're going to shoot a bunch of cannibals, probably some zombie shit, maybe some people get eaten. Cool. I didn't expect this, like, I need to go to our text thread just so I can accurately say exactly how I felt about this movie. I wasn't expecting this journey of men.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it's definitely epic. It's well written, there's some beautiful cinematography.
Oh my God, yes.
Like you're saying, like, if you just read the description, you're like, okay, it's going to be like a zombie shoot 'em up with Kurt Russell running around, you know, like a Big Trouble in Little China meets They Live, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But the practical effects were phenomenal. You don't get to find out a whole lot about who these... they called them troglodytes.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we have an expert. And it's like, it just happened to be like...
The one indigenous dude that they know.
The Indian guy that's in there. It's like, oh, so you must know about everyone. And he's like, actually, I do. It's like, you know, if I were to ask you, it'd be like, oh, I saw this other black guy the other day. Do you know him?
Oh, you mean Jerry?
Oh, yeah, Jerry, yeah, you know. It's like, oh, you're from Detroit? Do you know Mike?
Everybody knows Mike. I'm from Detroit.
You know, it's like the casual racism of the Old West.
Oh, God. And I love that they both... This was a part that annoyed me and made me laugh all at once. It annoyed me that sometimes they just wouldn't speak on it at all. And then there were other times where they're like, yeah, this is very racist and we shouldn't be saying this.
I killed me 116 Indians.
It's like, oh, you deserve to die then. I don't feel bad for you at all. You died for the cause. Cool.
But, I mean, he also did tell the story, like, where it's like, yeah, I watched, you know, my wife or my mother and sister get scalped in front of me at 10. So it's like, all right, I get it. I see where you're coming from. Like, do I agree with it? No, but I will say the one inconsistency that bothered me is the knife to the shoulder really didn't slow him down much.
At all. This is like early in those days. I remember watching it, and Valkyrie was like, ooh, in the shoulder? He gonna die.
Oh, he got a splinter. Well, it's nice knowing you.
But
I'm past my prime. I'm like 22. Like,
so to your point, I heard that, and the first thing I thought about was Liam Neeson. It's like, oh, so I went down everyone looking for any black guy I could find.
Yeah.
I seen indigenous people kill my family at 10, so I just killed 116 of them. Were they from the same tribe? I don't know. They all look the same to me.
Were they all, you know, they weren't all men.
I killed some kids and women too. What? You became everything you hate.
Hey, women know how to use bows. You ever seen a toddler with a tomahawk? That's the sequel.
I should edit that.
If you give a mouse a cookie, it's if you give a toddler a tomahawk.
I really feel like I should edit that out just so you can write a story called Toddler with a Tomahawk.
Oh, you can leave that in. I can put that in there. I'll add that to something. But yeah, it's the first time I saw it, someone was like, oh, you gotta watch it, it's so good. And some of my buddies on a podcast had watched it, and they raved about it. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll check it out. What were your thoughts going into it? Like, did you feel like, man, this thing better get interesting soon?
No.
Like,
I liked it. Legitimately, I liked it right from the jump. Over the years, I have become someone who enjoys a slow buildup. As long as we're getting a story where we're going towards something, I don't really judge it until it starts to make sense. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some movies where I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck this. I'm not even going to this because this is just... This is just bad.
I think with this, though, like, the beginning that's kind of slow, like, it does sort of give you an idea of who these characters are, because it's almost like this over-the-top exposition, like, between Patrick Wilson and his wife,
yeah.
Like, oh, this is why you have a busted-up leg, but you see, like, how much they love each other. And then the relationship between Kurt Russell and Richard Jenkins. Oh, that tea smells terrible. It's soup. You think I could have some?
Smells better now that I know it's soup. But
yeah.
But here's the funny thing about that is, I didn't think this was a slow build-up at all. So, here's the thing. First, boom, they hit you with the action. That's great. So, okay, I know what I'm getting. So now, I know what I'm getting into. And I like the fact that they didn't show you who the antagonists were yet. It had a very Game of Thrones feel to it, where I found out that you don't see the White Walkers well into the series. So I thought that was cool.
You get hints of it, but no real steady shot.
Exactly. So as so then you get to the guy in the bar, and the conversation he had with the drunk at the piano, I was like, that's entertaining.
And
then
he flipped the sign around?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'll play this new song, but it's going to cost you a drink to let me play. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Just flips the sign around. I have whiskey.
So
if one song is 3 cents, why are 3 songs a dime? I get tired after the second song, so the third costs extra. Like, that's brilliant fucking writing.
It really was. And I felt myself just really into just the way everything was, where everything progressed, the way everything was written. I loved The deputy sheriff was hands down
Chicory.
Like, huh?
Richard Jenkins.
He was so fucking good in this because he had this, like, he had a sense of innocence to him, but he also wasn't, like, they called him a moron, but you could tell that for him it's more of him playing the role to make everyone else feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
So I really,
if people, obviously, we're talking about Richard Jenkins, who's been in a ton of stuff. And if people aren't familiar with him, some of the things you might have seen him in, Cabin in the Woods, Get Out. No, I'm sorry, that was Bradley Whitford. Cabin in the Woods, Step Brothers.
Oh, shit, that was him in Step Brothers.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought he was...
Okay, I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, okay, I guess Shape of Water.
Because he was in, Bradley Whitford was also in Cabin in the Woods with him.
Oh.
And Bradley Whitford played the dad in Get Out.
Okay. He was also in Burn After Reading, which I burned after watching.
he's a great character actor. He does a lot of horror and a lot of like comedy. He's just got this great, like, he can be an asshole or he could be, you know, the character he is in this, where he's just kind of like this doddering old man, but he could also be like kind of scary and intimidating, like in Cabin in the Woods, you know, where he had this like real mean presence about him.
Yeah.
You know, he was definitely the guy in charge.
Yeah. I loved him in Cap. Well, first of all, let me just say, I think Cabin in the Woods for me, someone's like, oh, can you recommend a horror movie? I was like, Cabin in the Woods. I almost immediately go to that just because of the comedic sense to it, the how it really breaks down all of the horror movies that we've watched over the years and
all the different tropes, yeah.
Yeah,
how some redneck murder family.
They really.
And I will tell you, I don't like Joss Whedon, but I really like this movie.
Yeah.
I own it, but I'm not a big fan of Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, the more I found out, I like Joss Whedon. I'm a fan of Buffy. I haven't finished Angel. His run of Astonishing X-Men is among one of the perfect comic book arcs that I've read. Cabin in the Woods is great. Obviously, the stuff he did with Avengers was good. But the more I hear about him, the more I realize he's kind of a dickhead.
Yeah, I mean, everything he does, he complains about it afterwards. Everything. He complained about... Like, oh, Avengers, oh, I wanted to do this, he wouldn't let me, I wanted to do this, he wouldn't let me, oh, it was the worst thing I ever did. Oh, so that must be why you came back for Avengers 2. You know, like, they wouldn't let you do whatever you wanted, but, you know, you came back, and there's a, I have to find the quote, because I want to make sure he's credited exactly, and I've talked about this repeatedly, because of what he said about Alien 4. Now, Alien 4, you know, obviously, because it's the fourth installment, you know, those sometimes aren't the best. But when you look at the cast that was in that, you have, obviously, Sigourney Weaver, Ron Perlman, Dan Hedaya, who's been in, like, a million things. I said Ron Perlman. What's her name? Winona Ryder.
Oh, shit, she was in that.
And... Academy Award winner Brad Dourif, okay? Who he won for, he was in Child's Play, he was the voice of Chucky, but he was also, he played Billy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was Grima Wormtongue in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Like, dude's a good actor, he knows his shit. So, Joss Whedon was unhappy with everything about the film. He commented in 2005, it wasn't a question of doing everything differently, although they changed the ending. It was mostly a matter of doing everything wrong. They said the lines, but they said them all wrong. And they cast it wrong. And they designed it wrong. And they scored it wrong. They did everything wrong they could possibly do. Because that's actually a fascinating lesson in filmmaking. Because everything they did reflects back to the script or looks like something from it. And people assumed that if I hated it then, that I hated it, then they'd change the script. But it wasn't so much they changed it. They executed it in such a ghastly fashion, they rendered it unwatchable. Oh, I'm sorry. Multiple Academy Award winning fucking Joss Whedon. How many Oscars do you have for writing, directing? Oh, none? How many times have you been nominated? None? Oh, I'm sorry that, you know, all of these fucking veteran actors, you know, did everything wrong. And the fucking cast, the sets, the score, everything was wrong? Go fuck yourself, Joss Whedon. That's how I feel about that. When I read that, I was like, get the fuck off your high horse. And then he does the exact same shit for Avengers and Avengers 2. He complains so much about Avengers. Like, they didn't let me do what I wanted. Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe don't work with Disney anymore. Oh, I'm directing Avengers 2. Oh, they didn't let me do what I wanted. I didn't learn the first fucking time. Yeah, because nobody else could have directed those movies. Fucking Edgar Wright could have done it. I would have loved to see Edgar Wright's fucking Ant-Man. You kidding me? We did get Baby Driver out of it, but...
Baby Driver. Fuck. Can I tell you, Jesus, I've never seen you as angry. Can I also just say that Baby Driver was, I went into this, I went to that movie expecting it to be shit, and it was fucking incredible. I don't even like car chase movies, but that was so fucking good.
Edgar Wright is a fucking genius. Like, Shaun of the Dead was the first Edgar Wright movie I ever saw, and it has dozens of references to other zombie films. If you've never seen it, see it. If you like zombie movies, like, there's a fucking throwaway line where Sean calls to make a reservation at a restaurant, and the name of the restaurant is Fulci's. Lucio Fulci is one of the most influential Italian zombie horror directors of all time.
Oh, shit.
Like, it's just this random throwaway line, but, like, he's paying homage. Like, have you ever seen Hot Fuzz?
Yeah, I love that movie.
All right. There are so many little nods. They do the exact same thing, but to all these different action movies. Like, when they're the city, the neighborhood watch or whatever, they're all sitting there and they're like, oh, yeah, this lady just had twins and she named her boys Roger and Martin. That's Roger Murtaugh and Martin Riggs of Lethal Weapon. When they're talking about, oh, yeah, there was this thing at Callahan Park, Dirty Harry Callahan. Oh, and that, oh, that there was used to be a guy here, that, you know, but he had something you didn't. Like, what's that? Oh, a great big bushy beard. Oh, what's his name? Oh, Sergeant Plopwell. Sergeant Plop, that guy is an actor from the Dirty Harry. Like, he's he's the guy at the beginning of Dirty Harry when Dirty Harry does the did I fire all six bullets or only five? You know, oh, yeah, this and that. And the guy gives up, and he just looks at him. The black guy, he's like, I got to know! And he pulls the trigger, and nothing happens. That's the fucking guy they're referencing. Like, that's how deep of a cut they're doing.
That's pretty fun.
It's just, like, blows your mind.
You know, it's funny. I appreciate your passion and stuff like this, because you don't really get that with someone who, like, really loves what they do or has a passion for things like that. I appreciate how, like, into this you are.
I love this shit. Like, I fucking love this shit.
So let me just say, so before we get into the next game, I'm gonna give Bonesaw Tomahawk, despite all the ridiculousness of it, I'm gonna give it an 8. I really, really enjoyed it. And I would absolutely watch it again. And I can't wait until quarantine's over so I can invite LaBelle over so we can sit and watch this ridiculous-ass movie again.
If you like that, and I'm going to recommend this again, and I know you know what I'm going to say because I said it several times, but I want your listeners to know, because say somebody has seen this movie and they're like, man, I wish I could get some more S. Craig Zahler movies.
Psycho?
No. He did Brawl in Cell Block 99 with Vince Vaughn. There is a scene
because Vince Vaughn's in Psycho, right?
Yes.
That's why I got him confused.
Yeah. He was in the shot-for-shot remake that was done. There is a scene where they're trying to coerce him. He's in prison, and, like, this, like, the main bad guy is trying to coerce him into doing something. So his underling comes in and starts talking about Vince Vaughn's pregnant wife, who is Jennifer Carpenter, who was Dexter's sister.
Yeah.
She was in Quarantine, The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I won't watch that movie. I watched it once and never watched it again.
Yeah, that's fine.
Scared the shit out of me.
She, based on a true story, called The Exorcism of Annalise Michel. She was German. But, so the guy, Udo Kier, is the actor. And if you look him up, I know you've seen him. He was in Blade. He was like the head vampire in the first Blade movie, the older guy.
He was in Ace Ventura.
Yep. He comes to Vince Vaughn and he's like, yeah, so you can do this. And these are the exact steps that you have to do in order to fulfill your end of the bargain because you owe us. Or we just flew in this abortionist, and he's so good that he can clip the limbs off of a fetus without it dying. And, like, that's what he's talking about. He's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, we have your wife, your pregnant wife. Brawling Cell Block 99 is fucking amazing. The other one that he wrote and directed, I believe that one's on Prime, but the other one he wrote and directed is called Dragged Across Concrete. And unlike the first two movies, no one gets dragged across concrete. I mean, not really, like, they kind of rough up a suspect at the beginning. But, it's Vince Vaughn and his partner, Mel fucking Gibson, and their boss, Don Johnson, who used to be Mel Gibson's partner. And Don Johnson, Watchmen, Django Unchained.
Love that movie.
I mean, that's his recent stuff, but, you know, obviously he was bigger in the 80s as well. But that's what he's been in recently that you might recognize him from. There's like this, like, oh, we have this one last score that we need to do, and like, oh, we'll, because they're not crooked cops, but they find out about something that if they are able to pull it off, like, it'll set them up for life.
Yeah.
And things go so wrong.
As a tradition.
It's so good. It's so good. Anything that S. Craig Zahler is attached to, I will instantly purchase before I watch it.
Okay. So 1 to 10, what do you give Road to El Dorado? My assumption is you'd probably give it a 6.
I generally just, I haven't rated anything in a while, because I usually just say I recommend it or I don't recommend it, but...
All right, so we'll go with that.
I'm a guest on your show, so I'll give it a solid 5. It's a middle-of-the-road movie. They don't spend a lot of time really getting into who the characters are, other than, like, they're cheating gamblers, and they're grifters and hustlers, and, like, that's the extent of it. And they set up this whole, like, third act that never happens.
Okay. I also want to point out that Sir Elton John did the music for it. So that's why I guess he gets a couple points for me.
I didn't think they were overly good songs. I thought his Lion King songs were so much better.
So what you're saying is it's the middle of the road to El Dorado.
Yes, the middle of the road to El Dorado. Exactly.
All right, so we have a game. I have a game I'd like to play. It's called This or That. You pick one of the others. It's a really simple game. We're doing a Cineman edition. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. What you got? First off, Casino or Usual Suspects?
Casino definitely has some amazing... It has an amazing ending. But the twist in... Usual Suspects. The only problem I have with Usual Suspects, and it's not even their fault, it's like when they show a certain plane taking off and it's supposed to be the same plane landing, it's two totally different planes, like they don't even have the same number of engines. But like, the cast in this, like this was my introduction to Gabriel Byrne, like I knew Chaz Palminteri, and there's Dan Hedaya, again, was in that, Giancarlo Esposito, who went on to be heavily featured in both Breaking Bad and The Mandalorian. Kevin Spacey won a fucking Oscar for this performance. I mean, Casino, I kind of liked it the first time I saw it when it was called Goodfellas. I gotta go Usual Suspects on this one.
Valkyrie, what do you got? Usual Suspects or Casino?
Oh... That's really hard. I'd probably choose Casino, though.
All right, next up, we have V for Vendetta or Shawshank Redemption.
See, this is tough because they're not even the same.
That's not even the same thing. Yeah, you can't put that in the... Okay. You need, like,
I hate this argument because, like, you can't compare two things. You can compare shrimp and lobster. You can compare steak
and
lobster.
Shrimp and lobster are both seafoods. Both bottom-dwelling crustaceans.
Okay, fine. You can compare steak and lobster.
Yeah, both very choice meats. All right, I see where you're going with this. Um, again, this one's tough. And this actually kind of touches on something we talked about earlier.
This shit, both movies do. Both movies do, actually.
Look, I'm getting you said you admired my passion for this, so let me give you my rationale on this. So I love the alliteration when V introduces himself to Evie.
Mm-hmm.
I love the action. I love the fact that the Wachowskis were part of this, and so was Hugo Weaving, who was based on a great comic book, another comic that was supposed to be unfilmable, but they did a great job with it. I love V for Vendetta. It's very, very appropriate and relevant to today's atmosphere. Shawshank, I love Stephen King. I've read Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. It's slightly different. He has the picture above his bed. And he doesn't, if I remember correctly, he doesn't even like attempt to put it back. He just kind of leaves it there when he escapes. But this does kind of touch on something we talked about earlier today. And this actually happens twice with two Stephen King adaptations. And both times it's Morgan Freeman that got the role. The character described in the book is Ellis Redding. They call him Red because he's Irish. He's a white guy with red hair, which is the joke. Like, why do they call you Red? And he's like, probably because I'm Irish. In Dreamcatcher, the character that he plays was described as being either Christopher Walken or James Woods. And then when they cast him, it was Morgan Freeman, who's kind of like the furthest thing from James Woods you can be.
Yeah, especially considering his pro fuckboy stance.
Yeah.
So also, since we're gonna add that to the list, we're gonna add James Wood to the fuck you list right next to Terry Crews.
All right. Shawshank is a lovely story. But if somebody said to me, CinemaSins actually did a video on everything wrong with Shawshank Redemption the other day, which I thought was brilliant, and he raises a good point. If in conversation you had named some nearly impronounceable city to me, like, and then 4 months later you disappear and I'm supposed to know where you are, I'm not finding you. Like, I'm not going to find you. And I'm certainly not going to go to a cornfield in Maine and find that. No, it's like when Family Guy did it.
Yep.
We quit reading the thing. It's like, you remember the name of the town, don't you? Crap!
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Mike Henry says he is no longer voicing Cleveland Brown.
Yep.
I'm going to go V for Vendetta.
You know, I thought you were going to go the other way around for that. Valkyrie, I'm going to assume you're going to go V for Vendetta over Shawshank.
I don't know, because I love Shawshank, but
Shawshank's among the like one of the few perfect movies I've ever
but
seen.
But yeah, I would definitely go V for Vendetta. Like, that was my first, I think that was my first comic book movie, like my first graphic novel, like introduction to anything comic. And I always tell you, I describe it as like, you know, a kid walking into Disney for the first time when I watched that movie. So for me, it always holds like a special like place in my heart.
All right, we got the next one up. We have Cinderella or Snow White.
Oh.
Fuck both them bitches. Useless.
Valkyrie says both fuck. Says fuck both them bitches.
No, well, those cartoons were so fucking misogynistic and like the fucking like you need a prince to survive. I just can't.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Sorry.
I love you. I need you. I can't live without you. I don't remember what the fuck you look like, and I have to literally go through my entire fucking kingdom having people try shoes on until I figure out who the fuck you are.
So,
we danced for hours! Did you ask her name? Crap!
there's a meme I saw, and it's the prince grabbing her and going, "You can't leave!" And it's Cinderella going, "First off, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do." Alright.
Snow White. Snow White. Cheap.
We can just ever fuck them both.
is don't talk to strangers unless they're bringing you apples. in which case, let them into your house. They probably won't poison you, definitely, probably not. Neither. Do you know the ending of, like, the actual ending of Snow White? Like, how it ended in the fairy tale?
No, I hate both those movies, to be honest with you.
Because the source material, like, the queen, like, runs away and, like, falls off a crumbling cliff. In the actual story, she is, after she's resuscitated, marries the prince, the queen is forced to wear red-hot shoes that are nailed to her feet, and she is then forced to dance until she dies.
What?
Yeah. Those Grimm fairy tales are fucked up.
Yeah, the Grimm fairy tales. I remember that. It's funny.
Yeah, Little Mermaid's even worse.
Oh, yeah, it's wicked.
It's funny, because the first time I heard the Little Red Riding Hood, I heard the Grimm version. And then when I saw this Nicey Nice one, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
So between the two of them,
we say fuck them both, and we.
I'm with Valkyrie. Fuck them both.
See,
Kurt Russell or Bruce Willis?
Kurt Russell.
I'm going Kurt Russell as well. I love me some Kurt. I think he's a better actor, hands down.
I also have. Is he I finally found a cleaning, like going through, looking for.
I don't think Kurt Russell
clothes I can wear for work. My MacReady Pest Control. Outpost 31 shirt that I bought and have never worn it. It got shipped to me 3 months ago. I haven't been able to find it. I finally found it and watched it today. Yeah, The Thing is one of my favorite movies. I like Die Hard, but it's he's not Kurt Russell. Like, Kurt Russell had way more range. I mean, could Bruce Willis do Bone Tomahawk?
Absolutely not. Let me tell you, Bruce Willis couldn't be Jack Burton.
No, if you took the best... Who do you think is the best Bruce Willis character?
It's probably the dude from Die Hard.
John McClane.
Yeah, John McClane.
Have you seen all of them?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I've seen those superhero movies, the last two superhero movies he did.
I do like him when he's with Tarantino. Butch Coolidge is great.
Absolutely.
The character he plays in Four Rooms at the end of that movie is really good. But I can't think of, like, anything that comes close to MacReady or John the Hangman in Hateful Eight.
I'm looking at...
Mike...
I'm going through his IMDb. He was good in Unbreakable, but it was kind of forgettable. He was really good in Fifth Element, but he was pretty much playing himself. Not Fifth Element. He was good in Fifth Element. He was good in Armageddon, but I feel like he played himself in Armageddon. I've yet to see Death Wish.
It wasn't good.
Oh!
Like it was eh.
He was good in Red, but again, Bruce Willis. I loved him in Death Becomes Her. You know what I mean, but...
He is good in that, yep.
So, but for the most part, it's like, okay, like, if I had to, like, everything that
Bruce... Death Becomes Her or Overboard?
Everything that Bruce Willis has done, Kurt Russell can do. Everything that Kurt Russell has done, Bruce Willis can't do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, compare Death Becomes Her with Overboard.
Yeah.
And,
I love
you know... Look at their kids. Who's got a better, you know, Rumor Willis or fucking Kurt Russell's kid?
With Goldie Hawn, right?
Yeah, I forget his name, though. He was in Overlord.
Oh, you know what's funny? I'm actually... Oh, wait, I think I just had it. Wyatt Russell?
Yes, Wyatt, yes. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's him? I've seen him in a million things.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so next up we have Endgame or Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier.
The first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie or the first Spider-Man movie?
Like, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
Yep. I go Ninja Turtles all day.
Yeah, based on the impact it had on me as a kid, I gotta go TMNT.
This is a good one for you, Valkyrie. Oh, I did this wrong. Fuck, I did that wrong, so it don't matter. we're gonna do the battle of bad movies. Scarface or X-Men 3?
Scarface is way more quotable and has way more over... Like, anytime you get to see a dude's head get chopped up with a chainsaw. Like, dude got scalped with a chainsaw. Like, I like... Scarface is my number one overrated film of all time. But it's way better than X-Men 3.
Reservoir Dogs or Carlito's Way?
Reservoir Dogs. That movie fucking put Tarantino on the map. And everybody was so good in that.
I can agree. I will say this. I have a bias to that because Carlito's Way is one of my three favorite movies of all time.
Well, I have a poster up in my room of Reservoir Dogs. And there was a plan back in the mid-90s to do a movie called The Vega Brothers with Michael Madsen's Vic Vega and John Travolta's Vincent Vega. That never happened, and I fucking wish it did.
The next two might get you. Clue or Beetlejuice? I know Valkyrie's going to choose Beetlejuice because she hates Clue.
Beetlejuice is amazing, and Michael Keaton is a national treasure, but the innuendo and the just straight up savage comedy in Clue with the four different endings.
Yeah.
I gotta go Clue over Beetlejuice. That's a tough one, but I gotta go Clue over Beetlejuice.
That was one of the ones that, those are two of my childhood, like two movies from my childhood that I remember watching a million fucking times. If it was on, if you're from Boston, you get it. If you're out of the city, you may not, but it's like the, whatever the CW was then. For us, it was Channel 56. But if it was on Channel 56, I was watching Clue or Beetlejuice.
WLVI TV 56.
You get it.
And LVI is 56 in Roman numerals.
I never would have picked that up, but that's freaking great. and last but not least, Devil's Advocate or John Wick?
Ooh. I love Devil's Advocate.
I'm more Devil's Advocate. It's not even close.
Devil's Advocate.
There was a lot of really
good.
Bad what? Acting in that, though.
There was no Keanu bad acting in that movie.
Yeah, there was. It was just the style back then.
No, I stand by this. The Devil's Advocate was Keanu Reeves' best role.
No.
No way.
Constantine is his best role. I love Constantine.
Fuck you. You might
I
have a
love
point.
Love him as Constantine.
You might have a point there. He was fucking... I hate when people talk about how... I'm like, look, call that movie anything else and it's incredible. So, let's call it... Boston Teen. He's still great.
Occasional teen.
Yes, he was fucking great in that movie. I'm still going to go with Devil's Advocate being his best role, as great as Constantine was. Valkyrie,
I would say I gotta go John Wick, because very rarely is an animal killed in a movie and you see, like, the best fucking line in that movie, and the way, because I was trying to get my dad to watch this forever, right? And he's like, wow, I never heard of it. Like, it's with Keanu Reeves. Like, wow, I don't know. But, you know, he watched Game of Thrones. I'm like, oh, Theon's in it. He's like, you know, this fucking prick. And he's like, so he's Theon. Like, yeah, kind of. Like, there's a part where Theon steals his car, and he goes to get a new VIN, and John Leguizamo recognizes it as John Wick's car, and punches him. And then, like, his dad, the, like, fucking Russian mobster, calls him up and goes, I heard you hit my son. Yes, sir, I did. Would you like to explain why? He stole John Wick's car and killed his dog. Oh. Click. And that was the end of the conversation. Like, he's a fucking Russian mob boss, and you punched his kid in the face. Like, generally that doesn't end well, but then he's just like, he stole his car and killed his dog. Oh. Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. No. No. I get it. No. Yeah. Okay. Can you get my kid in here? I need you. Yeah. Oh. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Dion. Dion, sweetheart.
Dion, yeah. Sweetheart.
Have some vodka. You're going to need a drink. Oh, that's a nice suit. I'm going to punch the shit out of you because you're an idiot.
Baba Yaga.
Three men in a van with a fucking pinto.
My favorite part of that movie was, hey, John. Hey. Back to work? Not sure yet. Okay.
Noise complaint? Hey, Jimmy. Noise complaint? Noise complaint. It seems like all the dead bodies everywhere. It's just like, I'll let you get back to it. I'd like to order a dinner for 12. Or a reservation for 12. Like, that shit was insane. Insane. Watching that movie the first time. And here's how, I gave my dad the Blu-ray. And like, 2 months later, he calls me. Hey, so guess what movie I just watched? What'd you watch? John Wick was on HBO. Son of a bitch. My dad's the type of guy who was like, yeah, you ever seen War Horse? Yeah, I've seen War Horse. Oh, I've watched it 22 times this week. It's like, I have 400 movies on Vudu. Like, you should watch this. I don't know. I'm probably going to watch War Horse. I watched John Wick 12 times since yesterday. Like, oh, God, watch something new.
I remember when Black Dynamite came out, I lent the movie to my dad, and I asked him a million times, like, have you watched it? And he is literally the only person I've ever met who thought it was just okay. I'm like, you thought that movie was just okay? He goes, it was all right. I'm like, you watched Black Dynamite, and all you thought was it was okay? You were the only person. He goes, I just didn't get it. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I just walked away. I was like, I can't with you. I can't. It's fucking Black Dynamite.
Yeah, that movie was really good.
Oh, God. All right, this has been the Old Man Wade Show. An hour and 42 minutes later. This was only supposed to be a 45-minute podcast.
You shouldn't have had me on that.
God, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
Our half-hour show went 55 minutes.
Yeah, it did, actually. But you know what's funny about that is like, I think I'm going to try to make this a regular thing. We'll suggest movies to each other. It's going to be very rare that I suggest a movie that you haven't seen.
You'd be surprised. I just watched Big Trouble in Little China for the first time last year.
What?
I just watched They Live for the first time earlier this year. There's a lot of movies I hadn't seen. A couple months ago, I just watched Escape from New York for the first time.
I still haven't seen that.
It's excellent. Like, there's a ton of movies I've never seen that, you know, people are like, oh my God, I can't believe. It's like, I've seen shit you've never heard of.
And I think...
Shit.
I think that's why everyone is so shocked, because, like, you've seen... And the same thing goes for Steve Van Samson. It's like, you guys have seen so many... like classic films and know so much about the genre that when someone has found a movie that you've never seen, one of you guys have never seen, you're like, really? You know what I mean? So it's more shocking and a testament to who the two of you are as like film buffs, I guess.
I just don't like when somebody gives me shit for not seeing a movie and they're like, oh, I can't believe you haven't seen this mainstream movie. I'm like, I'm sorry, have you seen every fucking movie that came out? Like, have you seen Geostorm? No. Why not? It's got Ed Harris and Gerard Butler and Abbey Cornish and Jim Sturgis. Why haven't you seen it? Andy Garcia? No, you've never seen that? It was a $150 million movie. Why haven't you seen it? Oh, it looked awful. So? It's still a mainstream movie. I've seen it. You haven't.
Okay, I have a question for you, and you will not...
Please. Yes.
Before we go, I have a question, and you will not be judged... For the answer, because I know you have seen it. Have you seen Gods of Egypt?
No.
All right.
I've not seen Gods of Egypt, although I know Nikolai Coster-Waldau is in it, and he's like, look at me. I'm an Egyptian.
So,
from Croatia.
So I'm just going to let everyone know, the next time me and Patsy get together, we're going to review Gods of Egypt, because I have been dying to get shit-faced and watch that piece of shit.
Okay. I will watch that, and I have one for you. It's actually a poster that is directly behind me. It is on Amazon Prime. It is called Survival of the Film Freaks. It is a documentary on cult films that I absolutely love. I've gone to a screening. I've seen it several times. I am friends with the directors. I have a signed DVD, a signed Blu-ray. I have the VHS. I have the bootleg DVD that they made with, like, all the old, like, they put all these old commercials in it, like the old, like, Walk Like a Penguin aquarium commercial.
That's
from
funny.
Back when we were kids. Like, I love this movie, and these guys are super cool. There is a movie featured in this called Alabama's Ghost, which you cannot find anywhere. It is a blaxploitation movie.
Oh, God.
That I enjoyed so much because they did a screening of it. I have a fucking shirt of Alabama's Ghost. This movie has a car made of dinosaur bones. They had a movie that I believe it's in Survival of the Film Freaks. It's not, if not, I know they screened the trailer when they did their big screening thing. Now I don't remember what the name of it is, but like the trailer had like under 17 not admitted without parent, so bring your mama because she'll like it too. And it was just like the most blaxploitation thing I've ever heard. I don't remember what the name of it is. There is a movie that I want to see, but I can't ask for it in polite company. I want you, while we're still doing this, and this will be the last thing I ask you, look up Fred Williamson on IMDb. And he's got a movie where he's in charge.
Why do I think I know where this is going?
You might. But he's in charge in this movie.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I'm going to take Patsy the Angry Nerd. With this show, tell everybody where they can find you. Oh my god.
The best way to keep up with all the comings and goings of the Throwdown Thursday podcast is throwdownthursdaypodcast.com. It is it's got our latest episodes, articles. You can read the article that we referred to earlier today, movie reviews, game reviews, book reviews, all kinds of stuff. You can click, follow us on social media. We have all our social media links. We have our TeePublic store link, the link to our sponsor, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Everything is kind of runs through there. Find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group where we post our episodes, and you can find the episodes, including the one that dropped today, episode 211, Brains, all about zombies. Anywhere podcasts are found. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Alright, you can find me at OldManWadeCom on Instagram and Twitter, OldManWadeCom. I always can't remember, always better make sure I put, because one time I spelled it Old Wade Man, but it's OldManWadeCom.
Old Wade Man.
You can find me and Super Bowl Copy on the Facebook page, The Old Man Wade Show. I would tell you Super Bowl's Twitter, but he never uses it. Valkyrie, where can they find you?
On the couch.
Duke, where can they find you?
He's sleeping.
So before we go, I want to read off the description to this movie. White man's town, black man's law. Part devil, part legend, all man. Fred Williams is boss.
Damn it, Wade!